WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, September 19th. Coming up, we'll take a closer look at how cities have been spending money from the American Rescue Plan Act. We get that story from Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Safety Act introduces a wide range of reforms to Illinois' criminal justice system. This includes the controversial elimination of cash bail in January 2023. Representative Jahan Gordon Booth of Peoria says recent claims this measure will release a flood of dangerous detainees awaiting trial back onto the streets are misrepresenting the law.
I have been having multitudes of meetings with the state's attorney's office to ensure that we're in alignment so that if there are adjustments that need to be made that they suggest, that we're making those adjustments. So there is no desire for communities to be anything other than what you see here today. We want communities to be safer.
Advocates of the change say that accused will still go through a rigorous process to determine whether they qualify for pretrial release, and judges can still detain people based on factors like flight risk or threat to others or the community. Several states that have completed federal consent decrees may offer ways Illinois could improve its child welfare system. Alabama has focused on keeping more children out of state care, according to its commissioner of the Alabama Department of Human Resources, Nancy Buckner.
Several years ago, we created an urgency for permanency once a child enters care. We were doing a really good job on safety, getting out there. If children needed to go into foster care, they were going into foster care. Then it was kind of like out of sight, out of mind, you know. So we brought it to the forefront.
Illinois' Department of Children and Family Services has been unable to satisfy its federal consent decree. Its director, Mark Smith, has been found in contempt of court 12 times for failing to properly place youth in state care. Next week, the White House will hold its first Hunger, Nutrition, and Health Conference in more than 50 years. As Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, the conference could lead to big policy changes on how the U.S. combats hunger.
Some of the federal nutrition aid programs, like for women, infants, and children, or WIC, were born out of the original White House Hunger, Nutrition, and Health Conference during the Nixon administration. Lindy Buckingham Shutt is an assistant professor of community health and nutrition at Iowa State University. She says the 1969 conference has had a lasting impact on food and nutrition security.
Thinking about all that came out of that, it's really encouraging to think what could come out of the conference there is today.
Specific details of the conference are still vague, even though it's taking place at the end of the month. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
Severe storms early Monday brought hail, heavy rain, and high winds through central Illinois. At about 1 a.m., the National Weather Service office in Lincoln issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Champaign County. Within the hour, heavy rain poured down on Champaign-Urbana. The National Weather Service reports more than an inch of rain fell in less than an hour at Willard Airport in Savoy. Multiple weather spotters reported small hail in the Twin Cities. Ameren, Illinois reports multiple power outages across Champaign County, with more than 1,400 people in Champaign-Urbana without power as of 4:30 a.m. Rainwater also flooded the studio of WCIA-TV. The CBS affiliate continued live weather updates as water pooled on the floor. Still to come, a closer look at how cities have been spending federal COVID relief money. That story from Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes is coming up next on 217 Today.
In the psychological thriller What to Do When Someone Dies, Anna Friel stars as schoolteacher Ellie Manning, who has to confront the sudden death of her husband in a car accident and the revelation that there was a mystery woman in the passenger seat. Ellie refuses to believe her husband was having an affair, and she sets out to find the truth. But she soon finds herself in the middle of a much deeper mystery. Stream this three-part miniseries as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Cities across the United States saw a spike in violence during the COVID-19 pandemic. Some turned to one-time relief dollars for help. While Champaign signed contracts with grassroots violence prevention groups, many places instead invested in traditional policing, even when they reported spending the money on alternatives. Philip Rocco teaches political science at Marquette University in Wisconsin. He's part of a team of researchers sifting through the relief spending of thousands of local and state governments. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes spoke with Rocco about what they've found so far. She began asking why these American Rescue Plan dollars matter.
is that it delivered this unprecedented level of funding to state and local governments. Local governments especially, I mean, have not seen this level of funding since about 1986, I would say. And even then, this is just an extraordinary amount of money.
Are there patterns you're seeing in how communities are using money related to gun violence interventions?
As a share of their total obligations at the end of the first quarter of 2022, local governments spent less than 1% of those obligations on community violence interventions. So the bigger pattern that we are seeing is that state and local governments, you know, expended the largest chunk of their state and local fiscal recovery fund in ways that were the least administratively burdensome. So the largest category for both state and local governments, I think, is still revenue replacement. So just replacing lost revenues.
Because that's easier than setting up a whole new program. What about the small amount that local governments are spending on community violence intervention? What kind of programs are they spending that on?
State and local governments appear to have some difficulty with classifying spending as community violence interventions. There's no definition of that category. And so there are certainly examples of projects in there that do not meet our sort of agreed upon definition of community violence interventions. For example, like 18% of the funding that state and local governments identified as community violence interventions as of the end of 2021, but 18% of that is going to traditional policing.
Okay, that's helpful to know that money meant for community violence intervention is hiring police officers, getting police vehicles, technology like ShotSpotters.
I should emphasize, we do not believe, based on our evidence, that this is deliberate misreporting. Okay. That might exist. We don't know. We can't say for sure. It seems far more evident that either this is a result of the classification system itself, the lack of a clear definition of CVI, and maybe in some cases, governments just not knowing where to slot some money that they're spending on public safety. At any rate, or classification analysis, further emphasizes the point that a very small amount of money, formally speaking, is being attached to these CVI projects.
Do you think that there is a different approach now to addressing gun violence to, you know, the period that kind of started, you know, mass incarceration, like in the 80s and 90s? Is it a different approach in the spending? Or we don't know yet.
That was Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes interviewing Marquette University professor Philip Rocco. Rocco says he doesn't know yet how this era of government spending on public safety will compare to 30 years ago, but his team hopes to prompt that conversation with their research. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have partly cloudy skies today with a high of 84 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Eric Stock, Tim Shelley, Dana Cronin, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.